Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, hello, it's Nigel here. Welcome. It is Botcast time, and I have got a lovely lady with me this week as our guest on the Botcast, a Botcast virgin who, I think it's fair to say, is feeling a little nervous.
Just slightly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll try and relax you. You are amongst friends. And, I mean, the truth is, Laura, no one listens. No one listens.
I hope they will.
No one listens. There's no one out there. Laura Moxham is with me today. Long-standing EC member, trusted supplier.
Yep.
And queen of all things AdWords.
Indeed.
So we're going to talk Google.
We are.
Okay, excellent. Because yes. you're buzzing, because you've just come back from, you've been to New York, I gather.
NYC, yes.
Why did you go to New York, Laura?
Well, we were cherry-picked by Google. We're a premier partner of theirs, and we were invited to their Google Partner Summit out in New York and hearing the latest and greatest of what's going on over there. So I was very privileged to be among the creme de la creme, which is lovely.
That's very cool. So tell us, the team that you run, tell us a little bit about it. We're going to unpack your story along the way today, because it is an interesting story, because you came into EC, you says...
4 years ago.
Okay, yeah. And at that point, you weren't really running an AdWords business, were you?
Not in the slightest.
Okay.
No, not in the slightest.
So we'll pick that. So literally, it's kind of from zero to hero, from like not in the slightest to being cherry picked by Google, and flying off to NYC. All in the space of 4 fairly short years. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting story this over the next 40 minutes or so. But let's start at the end. Okay, that's okay. A little movie device. So let's start then in New York. So you've flown out there.
Yep.
And I know you do weekly videos out to your customers and your prospects, etc.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of a kerfuffle.
Yes. Yeah, so in Times Square, of all places, yes. Late at night, I did my video that was quite interesting. I was talking about some tips on AdWords and how you can help improve the lead quality and think, you know, really good, useful tips.
Yeah.
And then what happened was...
Just a little thing, okay? This is for everybody's benefit, okay? Don't use the word tips.
Okay.
Okay? Tips are freely given... Little monetary value, definitely not valued in the way insights would be valued, okay. Or strategies would be valued, or techniques, or secrets. So you were in Times Square, sharing
my insights.
Fantastic. See how much better that sounds?
I'm learning.
Okay.
So sharing insights, and then... about half an hour later, my mother rings me because she's, you know, I love her to bits. She's on my list. And she rang me and said, what's happened? What's happened? Are you okay? So I was on this video and I was talking about some fantastic insights that I could share to help grow their business through AdWords. And what happened was there was something was happening in the background that I was completely unaware of. And then these horses charged towards me. And there was a kerfuffle of some description in Times Square. And I didn't have a clue that was happening, and off I went.
And it all happened in the background of your video.
Yeah.
So you went out there and you spent some time with Google.
Yep.
And there were lots of people there, weren't there?
Yep. Yeah. There was like 1,000 agencies that were there, the top agencies within Google AdWords Premier Partner section across 63 countries. Yeah. They were doing the worldwide awards, of which we were shortlisted for. So, yeah, amazing to be amongst those guys.
So share with us then. We might as well. We'll take your kind of your second hand. That sounds dreadful. I don't mean that at all. But share with us what you got. Come on, give us the key juicy bits,
yes,
then that you got from spending a couple of days with all the great and the good, the big minds at Google, the top people on the planet. Because a lot of this will be about the future, what's going to happen, I presume.
Yeah.
Is that right? So tell us. Come on, what's going to happen, Laura?
Okay, so one of the things is about the customer experience. So it used to be about micro moments. It used to be about snippets in time and what people are doing on websites and on searching. But actually now what's happening is it's all about the customer having less patience and researching a lot more and having much higher expectations. So they need to be much more informed in order to make their decision. So they're looking at reviews, they're going to Facebook, they're doing way more research. So what it is, it's like a multi-channel marketing platform that you need to be considering. So not just Google, but on the other side, the dark side, as Google will call it, is Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's about making
sure... Did they really call it that?
No, they didn't. I'm having a play on words of how they've described. I don't think they could even say Facebook.
Okay.
But the dark side. So it's about ensuring that people have a multi-faceted, multi-channel campaign set up.
Okay. So because I think if we pause for a minute and look at our own experience of using the web, I do get. I mean, because isn't it fascinating how quickly websites now appear dated, both in terms of the design and the look and feel of them and the fonts and the space, etc. Yeah. You can see the contemporary sites and you can see ones that look a bit aged. But I guess it's the substance that's on those sites that is even more important. Is that what they're saying?
They are saying that mobile is one of the massive things to consider.
Right, okay.
A really, really key thing is about, 70 to 80% of traffic is now coming from mobile. Obviously, yeah. It depends on the target audience and exactly what we're thinking. But
and they count tablets as mobile, don't they?
Yes.
That which is important, because I can see that then, because, again, just in relating to it myself, a lot of us work at our desks.
Yeah.
We're on our desktop. And I do, clearly we do email and stuff and we'll do things, click links on phones. But actually, yeah, iPads are a big deal, aren't they? And that they're part of that mobile piece. And they're saying 70 to 80% of traffic is on mobile. Mm. And on mobile, I know, did they talk about speed?
Yeah, it's the response and speed of the load times of your website. So every second that goes past loading your website, you're losing 20% of traffic, which is massive. So we've really got to be thinking about mobile first. You know, at the implementer event that I'm at today, we were looking at each individual website, the people that I was speaking to, and the load times are very, very slow. So that is really detrimental. You know, there's no point in driving traffic there if you're going to lose 20% of it every second that it takes to load. So there is a checker that you can do through Google, and it's worth putting your website through that.
So how do people find that?
So just Google website checker.
Okay.
And it will come up, and it's a test with Google. You put your URL in there, and it will provide you a very brief score. It will say whether it's poor, good, fair, and then you can do a full report. But that is invaluable.
And that's looking at the kind of speed and the...
Yeah.
And I know, again, because Google, despite what a lot of people want to think, they are and they remain, they're very focused on their user experience, aren't they? And they recognise that when people are using their search, whether it's on a browser or on their mobile app, they're using the Google app, what Google want to do is give them, that Google will give its responses very quickly because they do gear up, they make sure their site is rapid. And what they want to make sure is when you click the link on the search results, whether it's a paid ad or it's in the organics, they want to make sure that you get a good experience as a user because that reflects well on Google and means you'll keep going back. And so the speed of your site and the response speed at the time of your site does now start to impact both where you would appear in the organic results, but it will also have a factor on how much you'll pay on the paid traffic, am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all linked into the quality score, and this user experience is more and more what Google are focusing on because, like you say, they want to give their customers the best possible experience so that they continue to use Google, get what they want very rapidly. And if they don't, you are not going to get good mates rates from Google.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if you've got a low quality score, which is a result of your load page being quite slow, then you're going to be paying away more than you need to.
And again, so when you're running campaigns for clients, I mean, presumably you're doing that check-in and you're making sure. Is there a threshold that's kind of, in your experience, that's okay? Because speed of a website is one of those things that you can always make it better.
Mm.
You can just throw more... more memory at your server and just boof up your pipes and stuff, but at some there'll be a point at which you'll stop getting benefits. And what
could be the JavaScript that's loading. It could be the
But what's the threshold? I mean, what would Google? What if it loads in 1 second? Is that okay?
Well, when you do the checker, you ideally want it to be in a good situation,
okay,
or fair, but certainly not poor. You want to be you know, in a green position.
Of course. So the checker, the Google checker will tell you how you score. Yep. And you just go on Google Google website checker. And you can see that, type in the URL and it will tell you how you're rating.
Yep.
And that's a really good little nugget, is that. Did they talk about YouTube at all?
They did. It's now the second largest search engine and is growing more and more. And this again comes back to user experience and understanding the search and the way that people are trying to find information. So it's very visual now. People want to see guides. They want to understand firsthand how to do something. So YouTube is more and more being used.
Okay. So mobile is massive.
Yep.
Speed of your site is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
In terms of ranking, YouTube's a biggie. So in that regard, what should we all be doing more videos?
Yes, I would encourage everybody to share relevant information. I mean, with the they ask you answer, that is very much related to what kind of content.
Let's just make sure people are familiar with that. We've talked quite a lot about it. I did a big piece at the national event in September on this, but They Ask You Answer is a book by a guy called Marcus Sheridan, and it is one of the most profound. I mean, it's a very simple book, but its impact is quite profound. He's a guy who ran a swimming pools business in on the east coast of the US, and I don't want to diminish the book by trying to paraphrase it in 30 seconds, but suffice to say that the message and the strategies and insights in the book are really profound and they make a big difference. And the principles of them will help you hugely when it comes to getting traffic and getting interested people to your website. Okay. Any other predictions for the future from your trip to Google?
Well, just that it will probably come as no surprise, but more and more people will be searching online using mobile devices as the years progress. And by 2020, they're predicting that each person is going to be spending around 14 hours a day online, whether that be the mobile, whether it be desktop, whether it be tablet. So you've got to be in it to win it.
Okay. I mean, there is, and it's, I think the gap's getting bigger, isn't it? The it's not even 80-20, it's like 95-5 now, isn't it, in terms of the people that are the businesses that are getting the traffic for particular keywords in particular areas. There's a big difference between the haves and the have-nots and the companies that are getting the traffic and getting the leads and those that are left kind of nowhere. I'm just looking over your shoulder here. I can see on your notes that you've written down that by 2020, Google predicts... This is ridiculous. This can't be true. Google predicts by 2020, you must have written something down wrong here, Laura, each person will spend up to 14 hours online. Because like 14 hours, that's a full waking day for a lot of people.
Well, they have lots and lots of research and lots of algorithms and all sorts of things.
And the brightest people in the planet.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
We'll knock on their door in a couple of years and...
I guess we're going to be kind of omni-connected, aren't we? Mm. That's kind of where it's heading. So all this stuff is important in terms of, you know, for us now as business owners. You know, we are in very interesting times that we're living in. You know, Brexit round the corner. You know, some economic challenges politically. You know, I mean, crikey, no one's got a clue what's going to happen in 2018 on either side of the Atlantic in terms of where we're going to end up. And we've got this market where the pace of change just seems to be, you know, increasing more and more. Google are at the very heart of it. You've built your business on being at the very heart of what Google are doing, particularly with regards to paid traffic. Mm. So, and if we just look at that for a moment or two then. So when you, let's try and help the couple of people that listen to the podcast, Laura, because I don't want you to get nervous because there's only a couple of people
listening.
There's only a couple of people listening. And so when you're starting out, when you get a new client on board, you know, that they recognise, I guess there'll be different motivations. Some will be doing stuff with AdWords. They'll be consciously incompetent. So they'll recognise that actually there's a lot to this now. Because if I look back at AdWords now, I mean, I started out right in the very beginning with AdWords back in 2004. And I actually went, I got invited. They took me to Dublin, not to New York. But I went to Dublin with Google, flew me out to Dublin, and this was in 2005, possibly 2006, a long time ago. And at that stage, I was one of Google's top 50 European advertisers. Okay, now the most I ever spent on Google, I think, was about 60 grand a month. Okay, so, and I know now, I mean, that wouldn't get me in the top 5,000 now, no. I wouldn't imagine, in the UK, let alone across Europe. Okay, right. So, but at the time, that was kind of big money. But it was like having my own personal cash machine, because every pound I put into Google, I was getting back 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 pounds sometimes. And I remember going across there, and they were, one of the things they demoed to us actually was Google Maps, interestingly, and the 3D stuff, which was coming at that point. But my point is that Google AdWords back then in 04, 05, 06 was incredibly simple compared to what we've got now, because there is so many more dimensions to this now, so many more elements that are within your control, so many more opportunities to kind of exploit it and target it, and it is very complex. So I'm getting back to my point, and you'll have customers that come because they are consciously incompetent, because they know this stuff, and they recognise they can't find the time that they need to do this themselves. But you'll get others who, for whatever reason, have had a dabble or dicked about a bit, but now need to want to get serious, and they just want you to do it. They want to take it off. They don't know what's involved, but they know they don't want to do it.
Yep.
So in those cases, you know, what do you do? What are the benefits that come into, you know, an organisation like yours, a team like yours? Because how big is your team now?
7.
Okay, so you've got 7 people there. You guys live and breathe AdWords.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for us?
So the thing is like you say, years ago it used to be that it was quite a simple platform. You could effectively kind of slap up some keywords and some ads and make a profit with luck, typically, rather than full judgment.
I think there was a bit of judgment in what
I'm sure there was a lot. Honest,
you know, but I was only paying 2p a click, so I get your point.
But now, I guess, it's like flying a Boeing 747 with all the dials and widgets and, you know, air controls and all sorts of things. And, you know, it could be that you can learn how to do this via YouTube, via training. But it's actually what you do with it that makes all the difference. You know, we can press all the buttons, but it's the outcome that is the interesting bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, with our client base, we've got a wide range of different clients that we work on. So therefore, we are learning from data sets of different clients and applying different strategies. We know what works, we know what doesn't work. And you know, I think it's like most things, you know, it's about really understanding what you need to do, making the changes and looking at the outcomes, and then making more changes based on those outcomes as well.
Okay, so when it comes to like keywords, for instance, because even picking your keywords is not straightforward.
No.
I've been
talking about that all day in the implementation.
Oh, have you? Well, yeah. Go on, fill us in. Give us a little example then. Tell us how's that conversation gone then?
Well, what I'm trying to get business owners to understand is to take their kind of their brain out and not think about their own business. Think about their prospects.
For those of you listening to the podcast today, Laura is now repeatedly lifting her hand off her head in a wave movement.
Removing my brain
skull. I got it. Okay.
So yeah, it's not thinking about your business as you see it. It's thinking about your prospect. So think about that person that has that particular problem.
It's almost not even just, I would just enhance that. It's not think about your prospect, it's become your prospect.
Yep.
You have to kind of, it's almost a physical thing. And you almost have to literally kind of almost close your eyes and sit in your prospect's office.
Hey, you're reading my notes.
Bedroom. Where is that?
No, but you're absolutely right. When I'm talking to people, to prospects, I'm saying, literally, imagine you've got your laptop in front of you, you've got your keys over your keyboard, and I am that person that needs the plumber, needs the, you know, they've got headaches.
Pest control,
whatever it is. What do they physically type into Google to fix that problem?
Because their starting point is different to yours, because you know all about your business.
Yeah.
And they know, they don't, but they know what they want.
Yeah.
And that can make a big difference, right, for the word go, kind of getting the, you know, there's plenty of businesses wasting loads of money or loads of energy and time chasing keywords that are not, that they haven't got the sweet spot with what their prospects are thinking.
And that's the thing, it's about selecting keywords that are the bottom of the funnel. They've got, literally, they've got their credit card in their back pocket and they're looking to find a business to do business with. And those are the ideal customers and the ideal keywords that you want to be able to advertise on. And that is the best bit of keyword research that you can do. Literally, sit there with a cup of coffee and think, right, I am my ideal prospect, sat in front of my laptop. What am I going to type into Google? Yeah. That's the best keyword research you can do.
Okay, so how many keywords would a business typically have on their Google AdWords campaigns?
It completely depends. Like, for example, I was talking to a physiotherapist earlier today, and you know, it's not a massive wide range of keywords that you're going to be using. It's going to be physiotherapist Chelmsford, Chelmsford physiotherapists, and all things around that. You don't need to come up with millions and gazillions of keywords. Okay. It's very targeted and very specific keywords.
And for businesses that operate locally, getting those local place names in will be massively important.
Crucial. Yeah. So you could put in physiotherapy into an AdWords campaign and come up with a whole heap of rubbish, or you could put physiotherapist, or you could put physiotherapist Birmingham, and you'll come up with completely different leads. And so that one with the location in the keyword is crucial to be getting those quality leads that are looking for a local business that they can work with.
Okay. So the keywords are the first step. I guess then you've got to write the ads.
Yep.
Go on, give us some insights there then, because that must obviously, the ads are a lot, or can be a lot bigger now than they used to be.
Yeah.
You do a lot more with them.
Yep. You've got a lot more space than you used to. That will help increase your click through rate and give you more available ad space from Google. So if you haven't got your extended text ads, which means that you want to put more words into the ads, then get that done. Crucially, get that done. So the ads, I mean, this is another really important thing, is before you embark on AdWords, think about what is your offer, what makes you different from your competitors.
Yeah.
Don't have anything vanilla. You know, you want to be coming up with something that is an offer.
And you put the offer on the ad?
Yeah, so this is why it's good to think before we start kind of really getting into the nitty-gritty of the AdWords campaign, is, you know, what is it that I can do differently from my competitors? So when we're thinking about the keywords, go to Google, type in that keyword, so physiotherapist Birmingham, and find out what your competitors are putting in their ads. And we do what's called a gap analysis. So we want to find out, what are they saying and what are you doing differently as a business that you can... You don't necessarily need to be better, but just different and more appealing to your prospect. So that is what would be very important to put in the ad.
Okay.
So you can put in the ad copy, or you can use what are called extensions, which are other bits underneath the two lines of text in your ad, like site links, which are the clickable links onto your website, location extensions, which are the address, call out extensions. There's a whole heap of extensions that you can put in, but what we're trying to do is gain as much available ad space from Google so that you push your competitors further down the page, you increase your likelihood of somebody clicking on the ad, and it's much,
given all the changes, because I mean for many years the classic thing with AdWords was there were three AdWords at the top of the page, and then there was a whole load down the right hand side.
Yeah.
That's how it was for quite a few years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they started to slide a couple in at the bottom as well.
Yep.
And then they changed it all. And so now, I mean, typically now, there's only often only three advertisers visible, isn't
there? Three or four, typically. Yeah, three or four.
So in that regard then, you know, getting in that top three or four matters a lot. So what could I, should I do? Is it just about paying more money? Is that what it is? Is it a straightforward play by Google just to extract more cash? How do I get in the top four?
No, I mean, that's why I think having an offer is very important, making sure that you've got a call to action in there, so using words like...
So why do those things affect where my ad appears?
Because it's relating to the likelihood of a click-through, so therefore if you get a higher click-through rate, you'll be able to have a higher position for your ad.
So this is important, because Google, what Google wants, it is, at the end of it, there are some commercial necessities or from their perspective here, but what they're fundamentally interested in is putting the three or four AdWords on the page. They want to put the three or four there that are likely to be the most interesting and most relevant to the people that are typing in that keyword. and one of the, and the quality score becomes important overall in that, in terms, because they're not going to let put your ad there if your site takes 10 seconds to load, because that's going to give their users a bad experience. But if you've got an ad that has a high click-through rate, in other words, the number of times that, you know, that ad is shown 100 times to different 100 different people, if 5 people click on it, you've got a click-through rate of 5%. So 5% of people that search for that keyword are clicking on your ad. Now, you can build a business on a 5% click-through rate, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
I've run campaigns that have made us money with much lower click-through rates than that. But so the click-through rate, the quality score, the price you're prepared to pay, there's a little cocktail here at play, isn't there, with Google in terms of who appears.
Yeah.
Is that right? I almost sounded like I knew what I was talking about there. I don't know how accurate that was.
Yeah, no, that's spot on. Okay. It is a bit of a secret sauce from Google as to...
The different weightings and the algorithm.
Yes, but it's very important to understand your click-through rate, look at your quality score on a regular basis. But ultimately, it's about what a cost per conversion is for you. Yes. Because you could have 90% click-through rate or 5% click-through rate, but if the cost per conversion is, attractive for your business, then you'll pay that day in, day out.
Yeah, and this is where it comes to why people, many clients, lots of EC members, very happy to pay you, not trivial sums, meaningful sums of money each month to run their AdWords for them, because what you, with the help of Google, are delivering to them is new leads and, or in some cases, sales. But if we look at the leads typically, you're delivering them leads at a very cost-effective rate. But those businesses understand their cost per lead and indeed their cost per sale. And I suspect that's one of the big gaps with a lot of other businesses that are not fully exploiting AdWords, because they won't understand and won't have given sufficient thought as to how much am I prepared to pay to get a lead, say. When you talk about conversion tracking, conversion can mean different things, can't it? So it could just be someone has filled in a web form to get some more information, or they've asked for a brochure, but I've got some contact details. That would count as a conversion, because if I hadn't run the ad, they wouldn't have come to our website, they wouldn't have filled that form in. Now, I haven't made any money at this point, but I've got a conversion.
Yeah.
And if I, if it took me 10 clicks on my ad to get a conversion, so if 1 in 10 converted, then the cost of those 10 clicks will be my cost per conversion.
Yeah.
So if I was paying £1 per click, and I had 10 clicks, and one of those 10 people did what I wanted them to do, then my cost per conversion would be £10.
Yep.
So I've now got my cost per click,
yep,
which people obsess on, but actually is actually the least important number of all. I've had people say, even in Inner Circle and Mastermind, oh, can't do AdWords, it's £7 a click. So what? It's an irrelevant sum. It's a completely irrelevant sum. What matters is the cost per lead. So I've got my cost per click is in there. You've got your cost per conversion, which is what we've just talked about and placed through. But because even someone's filled a form in and I've got a conversion, not everyone will end up buying.
Yep.
So in that situation that we just talked about there, so it took me 10 clicks to get a conversion. A conversion is someone's filled in a web form. So now I've got a lead. So my cost per lead is the cost of 10 clicks. They were £1 each, so it's £10 cost per lead for me. But I need 10 leads to make a sale.
Yep.
So my cost per sale is £100.
Yep.
Now, they're the two critical numbers. Because,
yep,
I'm very happy to pay £10 a lead because I know I need 10 leads to make a sale, and £100 a sale, my margins are £100, whatever the model is in the business, I'm happy to pay £100 a marketing spend. Now you've got a campaign that you can now turn on, and you can tune it, and you can nurture it, and you can scale it. And that's where AdWords properly boosts and builds a business, isn't it?
Yeah. But the other thing to consider, just taking that one stage further, is some businesses' sales life cycle is shorter than others. So, for example, a plumber, those leads may turn into sales straight away.
Yes.
However, a kitchen company may be nurtured. They may need to go through a funnel and then complete 6 months or 18 months down the line.
Yes.
So you need to think about that for your business as to how much you can almost cash flow it through leads.
Yeah. No, which again, so it is, we're giving a few insights today, but it's important.
Good word.
It's This is the nervous lady who was shaking before we started. I liked you more when you were like that. The new assertive Laura is making me feel uneasy. So let's just go back a little bit then, because this is all fascinating stuff. But we alluded at the beginning, you came into EC, you didn't run AdWords business. What were you doing?
No. So I was working in T-Mobile, very corporate background, and the sort of person that I am, gave it 110%. I was the PR manager for UK and Europe. But I've...
When did you start? When were you doing that job?
I was there for 8 years.
Give me a year.
Oh, God, I can't remember.
It'd be after me. I had an interview once with the chief exec. It was for a commercial director role at T-Mobile.
Hatfield?
No, it was before him. And
no, the place.
No. This is what I'm going on to. The interview took place in the Criterion restaurant.
Oh, nice.
Which is right on Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah.
And this guy was the chief exec. I can't remember his name, it doesn't matter. So I went and met him for lunch in the Criterion restaurant, which was a very nice experience. And I'll never forget this interview. I didn't get the job, by the way, so it didn't go that well. But as we came out, and this is probably the reason why, as we emerged from the restaurant, and some of you remember this happened, as we were coming out, we were literally shaking hands outside the restaurant to go our separate ways. And Billy Connolly, now, of course, Sir Billy Connolly,
yeah,
ran out of the Criterion Theatre, which is right next door,
yeah,
stark naked. And he ran around the statue of Eros and back in. And
it was a big stag do,
and it was a big stunt for Red Nose Day. And so that was my interview at T-Mobile. So we could have been colleagues if I'd performed better on the day, but I didn't. Anyway, we digress slightly. So you're at T-Mobile in PR.
Yes, in PR. And I thought, I don't want to be working in a corporate organisation. My father is an amazing entrepreneur, and that's what I've lived with and just learned all sorts of insights and really, really looked up to him. Incredible. And so we had a coffee, he came over to talk to me, and we said, hold on, my brother has a little IT support company. He's got 300 customers, and we coined the phrase a Harrods of Harpenden. Harpenden. He used to cuddle his customers to death and look after them in such a way, but he had no desire to kind of focus on this commercially. So I thought, right, I could cut my entrepreneurial teeth. And so I joined him, and I thought, right,
so you went into business with your brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought, how can I do this? I need to find ways of getting and keeping customers. And in comes the Entrepreneur Circle.
Okay.
So I found out about the Entrepreneur Circle as an amazing tool to be able to find how I can achieve this, and went on Joe's AdWords course.
Okay, this is Joe Davis.
Joe Davis's AdWords course.
My longest serving member of the team, you know, Joe Davis.
Spent lots of your money.
Oh, my goodness me. But we're in our 13th year together, me and Joe.
Oh.
Oh, I tell you what, honestly.
So I did Joe's course and thought, right, let's see. I went back like a woman possessed. I thought, well, I'm going to try this out on our business and see what happens. So I did this, and the results were incredible. We were getting customers in like we couldn't really appreciate. It was amazing. So we grew the business, and then we started to win awards for what we were doing for business growth, and it was brilliant. So then I thought, right, okay, well, if I'm doing this, what I want to do is learn from the best in the world that I can find, and see if I can up my game further.
No disrespect to Joe.
No. Joe's course was fantastic.
I know what you're saying. It's okay.
And still is.
It's okay.
You need to go to implementation plans
it's
and
okay.
have a look at it.
It's okay.
So I did Perry Marshall's course, yep. Claire Jarrett's course, Mike yep. Rhodes in Australia. I did all these courses to invest in my learning.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I love this. I really, really love AdWords, what it can do. It's very data driven. It's very black and white. It's very, you can see exactly what's working. So I did that and thought, oh, light bulb moment. I'm going to start a little business helping other companies that are trying to make AdWords work for their business, because they tried it and they couldn't,
yeah,
for some reason it wasn't working. And roll on. And we're now in the top 3% of agencies across 26 countries. And
what's your brother doing?
He's still fixing computers. And loving what he does.
Oh, bless.
But for me, I mean, the Entrepreneur Circle, I've told Nigel this before, but the Entrepreneur Circle has been literally life-changing for me. You know, this journey of the last 3 years has been incredible, and it wouldn't have been achieved had I not been involved in the Entrepreneur Circle.
Right, it's nice of you to say so, and I appreciate that, but you've done it. And I think, it is, we said at the beginning, it's a hell of a journey to have come from really almost a standing start to be where you are now. As you said, as you know, seen. I mean, Google know because they see all the numbers, of course, don't they? Yeah. So when Laura talks about how she's in the top 3% of agencies, that's not a there's no bluster or marketing puff around that at all. It happens just to be factually correct in terms of you know what you're doing and the impact that you that you're having. So so what's the plan then? Where's it all going?
Bigger and just helping as many people we can that are already doing AdWords to be able to help grow their business, because we're entirely focused on business growth, you know, very laser light in that respect. And I feel that there's a hell of a lot of people out there that are not, you know, not getting the results that they should be getting. And like I said earlier, I know, you know, we can all press the buttons, but, it, you know, all of the outcomes are not equal. So it's what you do with it that makes those results apparent.
So I know you wanted to share, you had three big mistakes that people make typically on AdWords. Should we finish with these just to wrap this up today? So if people are running AdWords campaigns, either themselves or interestingly, because whilst it's true what you say that not all customers are equal, it's also absolutely true that not all AdWords companies are equal.
No.
And again, you know, I have met many, worked with a few, recommend only one is the truth of it, because it is a market that is full of, not everyone in the market is as the integrity to it that you do, because it's easy, some people know you, listen, some won't know you, but you are that little line you just had a minute or two ago about what you're serious about and committed to in terms of business growth is absolutely true. And it doesn't work, you know, sometimes it's hard, and not every campaign and not every customer is able to get a phenomenal stellar return, but you know, because you're not miracle workers in that regard, but if it is possible to get a return, you will find it. But going back to not every agency is like that, but looking at people that are either doing it themselves or indeed using someone else to do it for them. I know you've got a little three big mistakes that people do. Let's wrap up on these three, shall we?
At three.
Okay, so the foundations of all of this is tracking. We've talked about this before, but tracking results is vital. I spoke to somebody today and they had got an AdWords campaign running with no conversion tracking, which is no surprise. I've seen it time and time again. However, their question to me was, is my AdWords working?
Yeah,
I can only answer with, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can tell you how many clicks.
Because it's not even like buying a lottery ticket, that. Because even when you buy a lottery ticket, you can take your ticket to the newsagent and they'll tell you if you've won.
Yeah.
But if you're running AdWords without tracking, you have no idea if you've won.
No.
And so that's a very good point. I get that, and I'm, you know, again, it makes me weep for people really, because they're kind of well intentioned, but stupid.
There was a client account that we audited, and they've been spending $70,000 a month on ad spend, and they did not have conversion tracking in place. I mean, it sickens me.
Tell us, this is a slight aside. Tell us about the optician.
Oh, so the optician, yes, he was spending, sort of giving the game away, there was
I got a call from Laura, it's a couple of months ago now, isn't it, this? Because you were kind of genuinely, kind of morally conflicted on this one, weren't you? Because this was someone who had come to you, who was spending a very large sum of money on AdWords, through, I guess, a competitor, let's just leave it at that, shall we? I'll let you tell the rest of the story.
So this person had been spending a lot of money with AdWords and had said that they had not been getting the response that they wanted. And so I had a look through the AdWords account, and the keywords that they were using were just totally far too wide. And it's a local service and they should be spending a tenth of that
amount. Well, it was an opticians, wasn't it? So we all know, we can all picture, opticians serve a local geography.
Yeah.
And this guy was spending, it was thousands of pounds a month on AdWords, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can spend it, because Google have a wonderful way of extracting money from you if you want to give it to them.
Yeah.
But it is a stupidity tax in that regard, and the guy could get the, because there are customers to be had. If you're an optician, in serving a particular geography, there are customers to be had through AdWords. But you don't need thousands of pounds a month to get.
Because there's only a finite number of people that are going to be searching in that local area.
And my point is in the linking, because if you're tracking that properly and you don't know about understanding your cost per lead, then you can very quickly work that out.
But that's not commercially viable.
I'm getting these leads, but they're costing me £700 each. My average sale is £300.
Yeah.
I know they might come back again in 3 or 4 years' time, but that's not a sensible thing to do. Stop it. Yes. Stop it. Okay, so tracking is...
So tracking is very important.
It's more than very important, Laura. That's like saying like breathing is very important. It's fucking essential. Okay, so you would say it more partly than that, but it's more than very important.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want it to be a mystical thing. We want to use this as a measure of success, so you know you've spent £500, £5,000, whatever, and you know that you've had how many leads.
Because it's easy to track the spend. That's the easy bit. Mm. It's the tracking we're talking about is tracking what you've got as a result, and the clicks on themselves are worthless because the clicks don't do anything. It's what happened after the click.
Yeah.
Did you get leads? Did you get people to fill in forms? Did you make sales? That's the tracking that we're talking about. And in fairness to Google, all the tools you'll ever need to track your campaign effectively are there in your AdWords account. They don't charge any extra for any of that stuff. So there's no barriers to properly tracking other than your own kind of competence and knowledge and insight.
Yeah.
The most used word on the podcast. This is the insight podcast. Right, number two. We've got a few minutes left.
But also the conversion tracking is very important because you can then know which are your good keywords and which are your bad keywords.
Yes,
so you can stop the bad ones because the conversion tracking will tell you which ads are good and bad, which devices are good and bad, and you know you can go on. But
great insight, Laura. Great insight.
It's a good strategy.
Right, come on. That's number three, tracking. Number two.
Number two.
Shall I just do the... Da, 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 da. No, I won't do that. Number two.
Okay, so offer. Really think about what your offer is. Make sure that it is different from your competitors. Look to see what your local competitors or national, whatever you're advertising. And make sure that your offer reflects what you're doing to make sure that you stand out from the crowd.
And the other thing, and again, the offers... can make a big difference to the conversion. So sometimes, not the keyword of the ad, tweaking the offer, because not all offers are created equal either in that regard. So and you have a bit of fun with the offers, because if you're a little bit, no, that sounds a bit too generous, but test it for 24 hours.
Mm.
You're not gonna go bankrupt or risk the family silver on an offer that you run for 48 hours on AdWords, but see if it delivers the response and the return that you wanted.
You can have the best AdWords campaign set up, but if you've got a bland offer, then it's not going to generate you anything.
Which is true, but my point, I think, is again, I'll yield to your greater knowledge, but people often they commit to like a single offer, and what I'm saying is you can test different ones really easily. That would be my point, that you could.
So just to give you an example, we worked with a custom-made chandelier company.
Okay.
And
another one.
You know the one.
Yeah.
And so generating them leads, people are looking, the search volumes are relatively low, but they're looking to find a company that can do this. And we changed up the offer. So instead of a free consultation, they could download or request a sample. And the lead generation from that, the conversion rate just went through the roof. Think a little bit outside the box as to what your offer could
because
be.
Because these things can make or break an AdWords campaign and indeed the use of AdWords as a marketing pillar. So it does matter.
Yeah.
And now, Laura, the big finish.
Okay,
I'm not
going to
do a drum roll because...
It's
horrible on the audio. But here, making the climax of her appearance on her first ever podcast with the biggest mistake that business people make when running their own AdWords accounts.
Okay, so when we were talking about New York, we were talking about the fact that the user experience and you're going through different sort of places to be able to find your ads. So people come to your website. They don't necessarily take action there and then. So what we want to be doing is showing them your ad after they've been to your website. So you may recognise the term remarketing. So that is being able to then attract people back that haven't taken action. And because we're impatient, because we click around all over the place, just because they come to your website does not mean that they're going to take action. So it is worth investing, and the cost per click is low on remarketing, so it's worth investing and making sure that you've got a remarketing campaign set up in Google, but also in Facebook as well, because it allows you to get a continued awareness to those people that have made the choice to come to the website. Also, on two sides. It could be that somebody has engaged with you and has decided to do business with you, and then they're remarketed to, so therefore it's giving brand recognition. You know, so you stop any kind of buyer remorse. And then if somebody hasn't, it gives you the opportunity to get that second bite at the cherry.
We covered a lot of ground there.
We did. Enjoyed it.
Well, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. I told you it'd be all right. Laura Moxon, do you want a little? Where can people get hold of you, Laura, if you want to get in touch?
www.yourbusinessangels.co.uk.
That was the brother's name of the business. Is that right? Is that
Tech Angels?
Tech it.
But don't go to that website.
No.
Go
so your businessangels.co.uk.
Yes.
And people can find you on there.
Yeah.
And they can connect. Laura Moxon, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing with us all those insights, all those strategies, all those little secrets that you've picked up from, 4 years being deeply immersed in the murky world of Google. And thank you, it's been a pleasure. And hope that's been helpful, guys. James is up next with Nigel's notes. And we're back next month where I've got another fascinating guest. I will see you next month. In the meantime, happy Christmas.
Oh my gosh. Happy Christmas.
You're not feeling festive. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle featuring Nigel Bottrell.